We're continuing our study in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 this morning. And, you know, this talks about the gifts, and we're going to teach a little bit this morning. I hope you're ready for that. There's notes available for you. You know, Christ's ascension and the giving of Holy Spirit was the genius of the kingdom. Christ could only be at one place at one time when he was here, and he did miraculous things. But when he left, he sent Holy Spirit to us, and Holy Spirit lives in each one of us if we're Christians. And God is able to do signs, wonders, miracles, and extend the kingdom through each individual that allows him to and is yielded to his Spirit. Individuals within the ecclesia representing Christ and showing his character is the genius of the kingdom. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, in verse 8, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. You know, Christ's traits are manifest in the world as we yield to him, allowing him access to us that he might show forth his power and through our earthen vessels. Two places I want to go this morning. The first is in Romans chapter 12. I want to show the gifts that show the otherness of his character. You know, the reason why the gifts are used is for everybody else but us. Our gifts are not used for us. It's not to draw attention to us. It's not to extend our influence. It's to extend the influence of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. So here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, there's the word grace again, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So prophecy is, by the way, in both lists that we'll talk about this morning, staying within your faith. You know, there's many people that prophesy and they just seem to prophesy whatever's in their heart to prophesy, but it's according to your faith. And our faith is not just in faith of our words, it's in Jesus Christ. Ministry, it goes on to talk about ministry, and we use ministry for others. Again, it's not for us. It's not to build our kingdom. So many of our examples are trying to build their own kingdom or build their own ministry. It's about the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then in teaching, you know, it's very important when we handle the Word of God that we teach according to the Word, rightly dividing the Word and what it says. And then another gift that's given is giving. And that's a real gift. It's people that are just extravagant giver. The scripture says God loves a hilarious giver. So I encourage you, if that's your gift, to continue to do so. And leading, we lead more by example. Someone said we lead more by what we do than what we say. And that's so very important. And mercy is something that's needed right now. You know, we need to remember where you and I were before Christ came into our life. Mercy is a gift. If you have that, it's not grudgingly or smugly towards somebody. It's having mercy for someone's life. And that's the gifts talked about there. And then those are the gifts that show the otherness of his character. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to spend a little time there. The gifts that show the power of his character. You know, Christ didn't leave us fatherless and he didn't leave us alone. He gave us gifts so that we can go forth in the kingdom and do signs, wonders, and miracles that are promised us. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talking about the gifts, in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So I want to talk about three categories that they are broke up into. Number one is revelation gifts. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits comes directly from the presence of God in our lives. And then the power gifts, faith and gifts of healings and working of miracles. And then thirdly, the speaking gifts, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. So let's take a look at these. They are the way God works His supernatural power. That's really the gas of His kingdom. You know, we can have the nicest car in the world. It can look nice. It's got the best tires. It's got the best engine. It's got the best seats. It's got the best stereo system and all the amenities. But if it doesn't have gas, it's not going anywhere. The gifts of the kingdom of God carry forth the kingdom and show forth His power. These gifts have never gone dormant by heaven's plan, but by men's unbelief. God, the Holy Spirit, has always moved in His ecclesia and His church to glorify Himself and to extend His kingdom rule. Everything He does is towards that end. You know, nothing is wasted and nothing showcased. It's the practical side of an invisible kingdom. The gifts are not to draw attention to a meeting and to have three-ring circus and then go home. The gifts are to demonstrate God's power, demonstrate His love, demonstrate His authority, and that is what you and I are called to represent. So let's talk about the first three, the revelation of gifts. First, the word of wisdom. And this operates, the word of wisdom operates on the level of deep understanding, discerned spiritually. It is not the wisdom of the world from God. It is the manifestation of the mystery of God, centered in Jesus Christ. This wisdom is revealed by Holy Spirit to us through His children. These are things unlearned by humans, but explained by His Spirit. When you exercise the word of wisdom, you are talking about the deep things of God and bringing the word clearly to someone and what God's will is. And if you're used in that gift, it's so very important. The second one is the word of knowledge. And this, of course, has a close relation to the word of wisdom. Couple scriptures that combine the two. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And then in Romans 11, 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." So this word of knowledge given, they're words taught by Holy Spirit revealing spiritual things. And they're things pertaining, again, to the kingdom of God. It usually comes in the form of teaching. The word of knowledge is used very greatly in teaching and preaching. And the knowledge of future and present blessings. Typically, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge works hand in hand with prophecy if we're prophesying into somebody's life, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Thirdly, in the revelation gifts is discerning of spirits. And this is an all-important one. It's judging through what is outward to the inner reality. The secular meaning is the faculty of discerning, discrimination, acuteness of judgment and understanding. And I think that's rather ambiguous. Discernment is the ability, I think, scripturally, to judge well. In the Greek, it's diakrisis, and it means the ability to distinguish, discern, judge, or appraise a person, statement, situation, or environment. The ability to discern good and evil is so very important. There are, especially in this age of social webs, it's a website and on the internet, somebody can look official, they can be sounding official, and they're not of the Lord at all. They're skewed in their belief, and they lead many people astray. We absolutely need the spirit of discernment in our church. It's given to the church so that there is a distinguishing between the influence of God, the influence of Satan, or the influence of the world or flesh in any given situation. And also humans have spirits as well. So it's discerning of what spirit that person is in. It's always good to know who we're working with. And we want unity, but we want unity around God's word and centered in his word. Someone said that this gift of discernment is greater than any other virtue, and it is the queen and crown of all virtues. If you have discernment, we need you so much. My wife operates in discernment, and I'm just so very thankful for her because I don't have that gift, but we certainly need it. The next group of giftings is called the power gifts, and it begins with faith. You know, faith is special faith. It's different from the saving faith that we need when we get saved, or fruit faith talked about in Galatians. It's a gift imparted for the common good of the body. Faith is never for the individual. It's always for everyone else. There's a promotion of faith that can be misused for personal gain and fame. And that's not what it's meant to do. Faith is meant to bless the entire body. This is the first in a series of gifts that operate in distinction from the mind. It's something that you feel from God, know from God. The rest are the gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, and discerning of spirits that we just talked about. That's knowing in, someone said, it's knowing in your knower. You just know that it's God speaking with you. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is based in what the word of God said. And faith is the hinge between wisdom and knowledge and healing and miracles. It really is used in, again, wisdom and knowledge is used in faith, and it's used in healing and miracles as well on the other side. Second of the power gifts is the gifts of healings. Again, like the others, this is an individual appointment within the body of Christ for the growth, nurture, and the visibility of the body. It's the only gift, by the way, that is called gifts, plural. Transmission of healing through man. No one can heal but God. When we hear somebody called a faith healer, it's really not, they're really not a faith healer. They are somebody that God is using to heal. God is the only one that can heal. Sharing the glory of God is the beginning of deception. When we begin to exalt man and say that there's something special, we're nothing special, my friend. We are used by God. As a matter of fact, the way up in the kingdom is down. It's a supernatural endowment from God. The first time that I had occasion to lay hands on somebody and they were healed, I was absolutely flabbergasted. And of course, I was tempted to believe I had something, but I realized I had nothing. I've often said about the lady that I first laid hands on. My first trip overseas was to India. And I laid hands on a lady that had no pupils in her eyes. She came up for prayer for sight. I prayed for her, and I've got to be honest, my faith was not at a high level. I just prayed for her and rebuked the spirit of blindness. And when her eyes opened, she had pupils and was able to see. And I know that it had nothing to do with me, but it had everything to do with God. And we absolutely need these gifts for today. The gas of the kingdom are the gifts of the Spirit. You know, when John sent two disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one or should we look for another? The proof of Jesus' ministry was the lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the dead were raised, the lepers were cleansed, and the poor had the gospel preached to them. We absolutely need these signs and wonders. Laying on of hands and anointing oil, cloths and objects, these are for instruction but are not a demand. We don't have to have oil. We don't have to have cloths. We don't have to have, the scripture said, is the prayer of faith that heals the sick. Now, what do we have faith in? We have faith in our God. We have faith in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Next in the power gifts is the working of miracles. It's a demonstration of supernatural powers. And to give the best example, I want to go to the book of John, the demonstration of Christ in the Gospel of John for the working of miracles. Number one is at the wedding supper of Cana, he had turned water into wine in chapter 2. And in chapter 4, an official son was healed at a distance. He said, would you come pray for my son? And Jesus said, your son is made whole. And that was in a dish. That's a sign and a wonder, or a working of miracles. Thirdly, in chapter 5, a crippled man was healed that had been crippled for 38 years. It was a miracle. In chapter 6, he fed the 5,000, feeding the multitudes. In chapter 9, he brought sight to a man born blind. It was actually a messianic sign. Jesus performed that. It was the working of miracles. And then in chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And we say, is that possible to have miracles happen now? My friend, they're happening all over the place. The last thing you hear is that these miracles are happening. Here in the United States, it's been rough, but it's because as a church, we've not stepped out boldly. And I encourage you to step out boldly and let God use you. You say, well, I've never been used in any of the gifts. I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit are the gas of the kingdom. And God wants to use you. All you need to do is yield. It's believing God and ongoing trust in Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The big secret is that Jesus is not in heaven. Jesus lives in each one of us and works his work through you and I. Believing means to act and to step out in faith. And I encourage you, if you're listening today, step out in faith and begin to pray, begin to witness, begin to tell people about the power of God and watch what he does. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we started taking authority, really take authority over this COVID-19, begin to rebuke it out of our area, out of our county, out of our state, out of our nation? I believe the church is being called to do exactly that. The third groupings of gifts is the speaking gifts. And we begin with tongues. Scripture says different kind of tongues. Not always the same character. There are no limitations as to the various kind of tongues that can be used. There are 200,000 languages that are no longer spoken, and they're called dead languages. Can you imagine? 200,000 languages. And that's not to mention the angelic tongues spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I have nothing. And so there's tongues of angels. This is not a man or a woman with the ability to speak with other tongues. It is the work of Holy Spirit through human vessels. We must remember when tongues are spoken in the open assembly, it's a speech, not just emotional expression. It's actually God saying something. Scripture says you're praying to the Lord. And so it's the Holy Spirit speaking to God through that yielded vessel. It is uttered aloud with an interpretation following. Now, there's a little confusion about tongues and everybody praying in tongues. There's a gift when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. We receive a prayer language. I encourage you to pray. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But this gift that's talked about is used in the open assembly, somebody speaking in tongues, and there's an interpretation that follows. So then the second gifting is that interpretation of tongues. It operates only in conjunction with an utterance of tongues. And there's no human ability required. You don't have to know that dead language. You are just by faith speaking, and the Holy Spirit is using you to interpret that. It's an interpretation, not a translation. That's very important. People say, well, that's fake. It didn't sound anything like the other one. It can be longer than the message in tongues or shorter. It's just an interpretation. It's not word for word. It may be the speaking of mysteries in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. It's speaking to God with direct application to man. Man needs to receive what God is saying. Why does he do that? For a sign and a wonder, and for us to remember that it's God speaking, not man. The third of that, the speaking gifts, of course, is prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And the good news is this gift is available to every believer. people confuse it and it's misunderstood to be an office gift, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. No, this prophecy can be used by any believer as they yield to the Holy Spirit. It's a revelation from God to man. It is never, and I say never, on the same level as Scripture. Somebody that prophesies that's not above Scripture, it's below Scripture, it always comes in agreement with the written Word of God. It's immediate communication from God that speaks to the situation at hand. People say, well, God's already said in His Word. Well, there's many times God wants to speak into a service, speak into a time together, and He wants to have His will be known, and He uses that through the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3 says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. I want you to be very aware that there are those that call themselves prophets that prophesy things that never come to pass. They continue to prophesy. Don't pay attention to them. As a matter of fact, turn and run from them because they're not using prophecy in the correct manner. It's very clear in Scripture. It's used for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, reminding us of who He is and who we are. When a prophetic word comes forth, it's to help the body of Christ move forward. It's not to hinder in any way. It's not to expose sin. It's not any of that. It's for edification. Number two, exhortation. It's the raising of our faith and the dedication to our God. And then comfort, the real presence of God that lives inside of us. Prophecy should always end up making us closer to God and pushing the kingdom forward as we obey Him. So there it is, the gifts given to men, the grace gifts. And then in verse 9 of chapter 4, it says, now this He ascended, and what does it mean by that He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all in all. There are two parts to the ascension and the descension of God. First, Jesus left heaven in all its glory and came as a man to this fallen world. He descended from glory right here. Second thing that's talked about is when He died, He descended into Abraham's bosom and He preached to those who were there. The righteous dead that awaited going to paradise with Him, when Christ died, He went and led captivity captive, Ephesians says. And He took the keys of hell, death, and the grave. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. What a wonderful thing that Jesus did when He came. He descended and became as a man and won the victory for you and I. And then He went into the lower parts of the earth and brought the righteous dead with Him to paradise, where you and I will soon be with our Lord Jesus. The wonderful things that happened, the virgin birth, the sinless life, He beat hell, death, and the grave. We are to be praising the Lord for all He did. Lest we forget, the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ made all things possible. His ascension to the throne would have never happened had He not descended and became part of the human race, winning the victory for you and I. Friends, the wonderful thing about God is that He took care to cover all the bases. We just need to trust Him. He did not leave us alone. He left us with all these gifts that we've talked about. I encourage you, if you're not being used by God in one of the gifts, pray. You are a candidate for any of the gifts. And when we believe, we ask God to use us, He will do it. God wants to extend His kingdom. These gifts are the gas of the kingdom. And we pray that all of our tanks would be full. Let's pray. Father, I ask that those listening today be blessed by Your word this morning. Lord, that they would stir up the gifts that are already in them, maybe laying dormant for years, but that You want to stir up. I pray, God, that the church would rise up in this hour. Lord, that You would send angel armies to stand with us, that we might extend Your kingdom with signs and wonders and miracles that would take place. Jesus, I thank you that you're very much alive. You're not just in heaven. You are in each of us by the power of your Holy Spirit. May we continue to extend your kingdom. May this be the greatest day that the world has ever seen. As we draw close to your return, Jesus, that we would see all these things take place. Signs, wonders, miracles, according to your loving kindness and mercy. I ask blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I'm praying for you and your family. And if you need anything, you can call me. My number is 574-835-0865. My wife and I would be glad to pray with you, help you in any way we can. The Lord bless you. I can't wait to see all you guys from New Life Church when we're together again. We're going to have a huge party, but better believe it. Lord bless.